Welcome to day 94 of my Everyday Bible. This is Rita, your host, and I am excited to continue with you in the book of Judges. Today's reading will take us to the beginning of the story of one of the most colorful, if you will, judges of Israel during this period of history, and it is the story of Samson. We will begin it today, and tomorrow we will complete it. But today we will see his prophetically declared birth to his parents, and then the beginning of his reign as one of the judges of Israel, really a warrior judge. And then tomorrow we'll complete his story, and it is a fascinating one for sure. So beginning today in the Amplified Bible, we begin by reading Judges chapter 13. We will go through 15, but we start at Judges 13 and verse 1. And the Israelites again did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord gave them into the hands of the Philistines for 40 years. And there was a certain man of Zorah, of the tribe of the Danites, whose name was Manoah. And his wife was barren and had no children. And the angel of the Lord appeared to the woman and said to her, "Behold, you are barren and have no children, but you shall become pregnant and bear a son. Therefore beware and drink no wine or strong drink and eat nothing unclean. For behold, you shall become pregnant and bear a son. No razor shall come upon his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from birth, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines." Then the woman went and told her husband, saying, "A man of God came to me, and his face was like the face of the angel of God, to be greatly and reverently feared. I did not ask him from where he came, and he did not tell me his name. But he said to me, 'Behold, you shall become pregnant and bear a son. And now drink no wine or strong drink and eat nothing unclean, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from birth to the day of his death.' Then Manoah entreated the Lord and said, 'O Lord, let the man of God whom you sent come again to us and teach us what we shall do with the child that shall be born.' And God listened to the voice of Manoah. And the angel of God came again to the woman as she sat in the field, but Manoah, her husband, was not with her. And the woman ran in haste and told her husband and said, 'Behold, the man who came to me the other day has appeared to me.' And Manoah arose and went after his wife and came to the man and said to him, 'Are you the man who spoke to this woman?' And he said, 'I am.' And Manoah said, 'Now, when your words come true, how shall we manage the child, and what is he to do?' And the angel of the Lord said to Manoah, 'Let the mother beware of all that I told her. She may not eat of anything that comes from the grapevine, nor drink wine or strong drink, nor eat any unclean thing. All that I commanded her, let her observe.' And Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, 'Pray, let us detain you that we may prepare a kid for you.' And the angel of the Lord said to Manoah, 'Though you detain me, I will not eat of your food. But if you make ready a burnt offering, offer it to the Lord.' For Manoah did not know that he was the angel of the Lord. And Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, 'What is your name, so that when your words come true, we may do you honor?' And the angel of the Lord said to him, 'Why do you ask my name, seeing it is wonderful?' So Manoah took the kid with the cereal offering and offered it upon a rock to the Lord, the angel working wonders while Manoah and his wife looked on. For when the flame went up toward the heavens from the altar, the angel of the Lord ascended in the altar flame. And Manoah and his wife looked on, and they fell on their faces to the ground. The angel of the Lord did not appear again to Manoah or to his wife. Then Manoah knew that he was the angel of the Lord. And Manoah said to his wife, 'We shall surely die because we have seen God.' But his sensible wife said to him, 'If the Lord were pleased to kill us, he would not have received a burnt offering and a cereal offering from our hands. nor have shown us all these things, or now have announced such things as these. And the woman in due time bore a son, and called his name Samson. And the child grew, and the Lord blessed him. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move at times in Mahane Dan, the camp of Dan, between Zorah and Eshtaol. Chapter 14. Samson went down to Timnah, and at Timnah saw one of the daughters of the Philistines. And he came up and told his father and mother, "I saw one of the daughters of the Philistines at Timnah. Now get her for me as my wife." But his father and mother said to him, "Is there not a woman among the daughters of your kinsmen or among all our people that you must go to take a wife from the uncircumcised Philistines?" And Samson said to his father, "Get her for me, for she is all right in my eyes." His father and mother did not know that it was of the Lord and that he sought an occasion for assailing the Philistines. At that time the Philistines had dominion over Israel. Then Samson and his father and mother went down to Timnah and came to the vineyards of Timnah. And behold, a young lion roared against him. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he tore the lion as he would have torn a kid. And he had nothing in his hand, but he did not tell his father or mother what he had done. And he went down and talked with the woman, and she pleased Samson well. And after a while he returned to take her, and he turned aside to see the body of the lion. And behold, a swarm of bees and honey were in the body of the lion. And he scraped some of the honey into his hand and went along eating. And he came to his father and mother and gave them some, and they ate it. But he did not tell them that he had taken the honey from the body of the lion. His father went down to the woman, and Samson made a feast there, for that was the customary thing for young men to do. And when the people saw him, they brought 30 companions to be with him. And Samson said to them, "I will now put forth a riddle to you. If you can tell me what it is within the 7 days of the feast and find it out, then I will give you 30 linen undergarments and 30 changes of raiment. But if you cannot declare it to me, then you shall give me 30 linen undergarments and 30 changes of festive costly raiment." And they said to him, "Put forth your riddle that we may hear it." And he said to them, "Out of the eater came forth food, and out of the strong came forth sweetness." And they could not solve the riddle in 3 days. And on the 7th day they said to Samson's wife, "Entice your husband to declare to us the riddle, lest we burn you and your father's household with fire. Have you invited us to make us poor? Is this not true?" And Samson's wife wept before him and said, "You only hate me, you do not love me. You have put forth a riddle to my countrymen and have not told the answer to me." And he said to her, "Behold, I have not told my father or my mother, and shall I tell you?" And Samson's wife wept before him the 7 days their feast lasted. And on the 7th day he told her, because she pressed him with entreaties. And she told the riddle to her countrymen. And the men of the city said to Samson on the 7th day before sundown, "And what is sweeter than honey? And what is stronger than a lion?" And he said to them, "If you had not plowed with my heifer, you would not have solved my riddle." And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he went down to Ashkelon and slew 30 men of them, and took their apparel as spoil, and gave the changes of garment to those who explained the riddle. And his anger was kindled, and he went up to his father's house. But Samson's wife was given to his companion, who was his best friend. Chapter 15. But some days later, in the time of wheat harvest, Samson went to visit his wife, taking along a kid as a token of reconciliation. And he said, "I will go unto my wife in the inner chamber." But her father would not allow him to go in. And her father said, "I truly thought you utterly hated her, so I gave her to your companion. Is her younger sister not fairer than she? Take her, I pray you, instead." And Samson said of them, "This time shall I be blameless as regards the Philistines, though I do them evil." So Samson went and caught 300 foxes, or jackals, and took torches. And turning the foxes tail to tail, he put a torch between each pair of tails. And when he had set the torches ablaze, he let the foxes go into the standing grain of the Philistines. And he burned up the shocks and the standing grain along with the olive orchards. Then the Philistines said, "Who has done this?" And they were told, "Samson, the son-in-law of the Timnite, because he, the Timnite, has taken his, Samson's wife, and has given her to his companion." And the Philistines came up and burned her and her father with fire. And Samson said to them, "If this is the way you act, surely I will take revenge on you, and after that I will quit." And he smote them hip and thigh unsparingly, a great slaughter. And he went down and dwelt in the cleft of the rock of Etam. Then the Philistines came up and encamped in Judah and spread themselves in Lehi. And the men of Judah said, "Why have you come up against us?" And they answered, "We have come up to bind Samson, to do to him as he has done to us." Then 3,000 men of Judah went down to the cleft of the rock Etam and said to Samson, "Have you not known that the Philistines are rulers over us? What is this that you have done to us?" And he said to them, "As they did to me, so have I done to them." And they said to him, "We have come down to bind you, that we may deliver you into the hands of the Philistines." And Samson said to them, "Swear to me that you will not fall upon me yourselves." And they said to him, "No, we will bind you fast and give you into their hand, but surely we will not kill you." So they bound him with two new ropes and brought him up from the rock. And when he came to Lehi, the Philistines came shouting to meet him. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon Samson, and the ropes on his arms became as flax that had caught fire, and his bonds melted off his hands. And he found a still moist jawbone of a donkey and reached out and took it and slew 1,000 men with it. And Samson said, "With the jawbone of a donkey, heaps upon heaps, with the jawbone of a donkey, I have slain 1,000 men." And when he stopped speaking, he cast the jawbone from his hand, and that place was called Ramoth Lehi, the hill of the jawbone. Samson was very thirsty, and he prayed to the Lord and said, "You have given this great deliverance by the hand of your servant, and now shall I die of thirst and fall into the hands of the uncircumcised?" And God split open the hollow place that was at Lehi, and water came out of it. And when he drank, his spirit returned, and he revived. Therefore the name of it was called En Hakor, the spring of him who prayed, which is at Lehi to this day. And Samson judged, defended Israel in the days of the Philistines 20 years. Today's Bible reading takes us to the amazing story of Samson. And to me, the story of Samson is a story that is one of great possibility, great opportunity, and really the potential for great destiny in the Lord, and yet it becomes a story of great failure. But here we have Samson's beginning, and you could say it was an illustrious beginning because his birth was prophesied by an angel visiting his parents. Samson's parents were from the tribe of Dan, and they lived in a town called Zorah. His father's name was Manoah, and his wife, the scripture tells us, was barren and had no children. But suddenly they had this amazing supernatural encounter. The scripture tells us the angel of the Lord appeared to the woman and told her, "Behold, you are barren and have no children, but you shall become pregnant and bear a son." And then he goes on to give her very specific directions about not drinking wine or strong drink, not eating anything unclean, because God had chosen that child to be dedicated to the Lord. The scripture tells us, "No razor shall come upon his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from birth. And a Nazirite was someone that was consecrated their life to the Lord, and some of the specifics that they were to abide by as a Nazirite was not cutting their hair and not drinking anything from the grape, so no wine. They couldn't have any wine or anything from the grape at all, and that they should touch or eat nothing unclean. And the idea of it was to set themselves apart or separate themselves for service to God. So Samson had this illustrious beginning. His birth is prophesied before the woman and her husband even knew they were going to have a child. In fact, probably had given up because she had been barren for many years. And now, suddenly, the announcement of his birth comes from an angel of God. Quite dramatic. And you heard the story that once the woman told her husband, Manoah, that this man had appeared to her and given her this amazing news, that he actually prayed to the Lord and asked God to send him back, which is very priceless because we see his prayer answered. The Lord answered that specific prayer of Manoah. It says, God listened to the voice of Manoah, and the angel of God came again to the woman. And the prayer he prayed was really precious. O Lord, let the man of God whom you sent come again to us and teach us what we shall do with the child that shall be born. This tells us, first of all, that he believed his wife, her report that this man of God, that she didn't know who it was. She said his face was like an angel, but he assumed it was a prophet of some sort who's giving this prophetic word. And he actually prayed to the Lord and said, let him teach us what we shall do with this child. And the Lord heard that and answered that prayer. And again, that angel came back and appeared to his wife again. And then he had the opportunity to meet him and talk to him. And then together they saw the wonder that this angel did, which was when they offered their offering to the Lord, he went up in the flame of that fire. So he saw this sign and this wonder, and they knew they had had a visitation, a supernatural visitation. Again, theologians debate, was it an angel or was it another pre-New Testament appearance of the Lord himself? Regardless, supernatural encounter, word from God that this was going to come to pass, and then the supernatural ascension of this person, of the angel of the Lord, up in the flame of fire back to heaven. So quite a remarkable, stunning announcement of Samson's life. So we start with this great beginning. He's been called by God to do wonders. And in fact, the angel said something very precious about the call on the life of Samson. He said these words, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. So his assignment was very clear. He was to be a deliverer for Israel. Israel was under the dominion of the Philistines, who were very cruel and very harsh against them. And they had been under their dominion for 40 years because of Israel's sin, doing evil in the sight of the Lord, worshiping the false gods of the land. And so here, God was going to send someone named Samson to be a deliverer after this full generation had passed of being under servitude to the Philistines. But we go from the time of this announcement of his birth and this amazing appearance of this angel to describe who and what kind of a man he would be. And then we're told that the woman in due time bore a son and called his name Samson, and the child grew and the Lord blessed him. So we're not given any details about Samson's early life other than he grew and the Lord blessed him. And one verse, which is here in Judges 13, in the last verse 25, says, and the Spirit of the Lord began to move him, referring to Samson, at times between Zorah and Eshtaol. So he was moving on his life. The Spirit of God was working on him, in him, through him. And so we begin to see just a little glimpse that the Spirit of God was visiting Samson. The next scene that we go to in this passage is in chapter 14, where it says, Samson went down to Timnah, and at Timnah he saw one of the daughters of the Philistines. And he asked his parents to get that girl for him for his wife. So here's where we see the beginning of Samson's character flaws showing up. One of the things about a Nazarite being consecrated and dedicated to God is that they are to set themselves apart or separate themselves unto all that God would have for them. And part of the whole separation was that they were not to mix with these unclean, heathenistic, idol-worshipping tribes, clans of people that were in the land. And the Philistines were idol worshipers, as were all the other Canaanites in the area. So here we see Samson's weakness or his flaw beginning, character flaw beginning to be exposed. He starts lusting after a Philistine girl. Now, as a Nazarite, he should remain with the Israelites. He should marry someone from among the Israelite tribes. And in fact, his parents tried to convince him, saying, is there not a woman among the daughters of your kinsmen or among all our people that you must go take a wife from the uncircumcised Philistines? But Samson wouldn't listen to his parents. And here's flaw number two of his character. He was not going to be somebody that was going to take counsel or advice from other people. And that is a flaw for any person, because no one by themselves has all the wisdom and understanding that they need. There's safety in a multitude of counselors, the book of Proverbs tells us, and we need the counsel of other people to do what is right when we're making life decisions. And I've seen people make wrong decisions about who they marry because they refuse to listen to the counsel of someone else who might have some discernment about the character of the other person, who might have discernment about that person's character and what would be a good match and what would work well in a marriage situation, personality-wise and maybe family-wise and all of that. But here, like so many people, Samson wouldn't even hear of it. He wanted this girl, and he was going to have her. Even his parents could not prevail upon him. So he was a person that wasn't going to take counsel or advice from anyone else. And that really is a character flaw. So these things, his lust for this Philistine girl and for women in general, as we will see as the story continues tomorrow, were big problems for Samson, and they would eventually be part of his undoing and bring the failure in his life that we're going to focus on tomorrow. But here we just begin to see glimpses of it. And yet at the same time, Samson was someone who had an anointing of God upon his life, who had the Spirit of God and the gifting of God. This was a gift of essentially working of miracles. Supernatural strength from God would come on him, and he could literally do miracles, something that a human being could not do. A miracle is something where God intervenes and does something that a human cannot do. And we see that in today's story, because it says that his parents relent. They go down with him to the town in which this Philistine girl lives. And on the way, the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon Samson, and he ripped a lion in two. It says a young lion roared against him, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he tore the lion as if he would have torn a kid, which is a small goat. And he had nothing in his hands. And he literally worked this supernatural wonder, work of miracles. The Holy Spirit worked that through him, this gifting of supernatural strength. So he went on down, and he ended up talking to the woman. This was probably the first time he actually met her. He had seen her. And it says he went down and talked with the woman, and she pleased Samson well. So this was most likely their first actual meeting, as in those days, culturally, the parents would arrange or negotiate a marriage contract. And so he got his parents to go down with him. And this was the first time, most likely, that they actually had a conversation. So we know what happened after that, that Samson proposed a riddle when they were finally at the wedding feast, which was going to last for 7 days, and everyone would come and feast together. And the parents of the girl brought in some young men to be his companions, 30 young men, it says. And Samson proposed this riddle to them. And if they could tell the riddle, then he would have to give them 30 changes of clothes. But if they could not solve his riddle, they would have to give him 30 changes of clothes. And he was pretty happy with himself, and he thought for sure they'd never figure out the riddle, which they would not have if it wasn't for the fact that they threatened Samson's betrothed wife with death to herself and her father's household by fire if she didn't get Samson to tell her the riddle so that they could tell him, and then they would receive the clothing instead of having to produce 30 changes of clothes for him. And so Samson's wife, you know, instead of being faithful to him and telling him what happened, she basically cried until he told her the answer to the riddle, turned around, told it to the 30 companions. And Samson got so angry when that betrayal happened that he went out to one of the Philistine cities called Ashkelon. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon him in that supernatural strength. He slew 30 men of them, got their clothes, and gave them to fulfill his promise of giving the 30 changes of garments. And he was so angry over the whole thing and about his wife telling the riddle to his companions that he never even went back and left her at her father's house and left the party, so to speak, and went back to his father's house. And so because of that, we find out that Samson's near father-in-law, almost father-in-law, gave his daughter away to one of the companions from that party, and that was the end of it. But actually, it wasn't the end of it, because after a while, it says, but some days later, Samson decided to go and try and reconcile with his wife who had betrayed him, and brought a offering, so to speak, of a goat, and was going to go and try to patch things up. But her father ended up having to confess that he thought that he hated her, so he gave her in marriage to somebody else. And that brought on Samson's anger again. And this time he went out and arranged a most interesting way of burning down fields. He caught 300 foxes, or maybe they were jackals, tied their tails together with a torch in between, let them go. They ran through the fields of standing grain. It was almost harvest time, and burned up all their standing grain, which of course was removing their produce, their food supply, destroying it. And it said it also burned up the olive groves. So they were so angry, found out who did it, and they were going to take revenge on Samson. But once again, that amazing anointing on his life of the Spirit of God giving him supernatural strength was going to come into play. And though it was most likely not God's will that Samson should ever go and try to marry a Philistine, because this was the enemy and these were the people that they were not to be intermarried with because of their heathen practices and their idolatries, the Lord was using this, and the scripture tells us that this was God's used the whole situation in order for Samson to begin to take down the Philistines and save Israel from their oppression. And so this situation where all of the fields are burned up, the Philistines are so angry, they come literally by their whole army, comes up to Judah and demand Samson, and the men of Judah tie him up and hand him over. But it didn't take but a moment for Samson to become free of these ropes that they had bound him with, and using only the jawbone of a donkey, he stood in one place and literally started just slaying 1,000 men with it. And this was the beginning of Samson literally working as a deliverer, defender of Israel. And the scripture ends that we read today that Samson judged or defended Israel in the days of the Philistines for 20 years. So this is a fascinating story, a mixed story, so to speak. A man called of God, a man anointed of God with supernatural powers, and yet his human character flaws are very clear. He won't take anybody's counsel. He doesn't fully obey God. He doesn't stay away from these Philistines as far as desiring to intermarry with one. And he lets his fleshly desires rule him. And instead of truly just committing himself to be a servant of the Lord fully. So we see this mixture in his life, and it will be his undoing, as we'll find out tomorrow. But it brings to our attention that there are times when you may see a man of God or a woman of God who has great anointing, maybe great gifts on their life, and then later on in their ministry, you'll hear that they were involved in some horrible sin for many years, and you're thinking, how can the gift of God still be operational in their life when they have been clearly in sin at the same time when they could pray for someone and have a miracle of healing occur or get a very accurate prophetic word perhaps? And this may raise questions in your mind. But there's a scripture in the New Testament in the book of Romans chapter 11 verse 29 that gives us insight as to how that actually can happen. And it says here in Romans, "For the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable." And it basically means though God has given a gift and a calling to a person and anointed their life with it, he doesn't immediately revoke them because of their poor behavior or sinful behavior. And that is what we see in the life of Samson. He definitely was not walking in God's will when he did these various things, especially his pursuit of Philistine women. And yet God did not remove from him this strong anointing on his life and continued to use him for the purposes of God, though it was not God's will that it should be this way. When I opened in our devotional today, I said that Samson's life is really a story of great opportunity, great potential for divine destiny to be fulfilled in someone's life, and yet it becomes a story of great failure. We will see how the story plays out tomorrow, but I can say this to you. God desires to use every person who has given their life to Christ for the purposes of God, to be a vessel for honor to the Lord. But Samson's story and many other stories show us how critical the human free will is in becoming the deciding factor of whether a person will walk in the fulfillment of their destiny or, like Samson, fail to fulfill their divine destiny. Samson was prophesied before he was born that he was going to become a deliverer of Israel, and he would begin to deliver Israel from the hand of the Philistines. That implied that it was going to be a long battle, that the Philistines were still going to have dominion over the Israelites for a long time, but that God would use him in a great way to begin the deliverance from the Philistine domination. And yet, there is no way that we can say that Samson fully fulfilled the divine destiny. I would say he partially fulfilled it. God used him in different circumstances to help deliver Israel. I don't believe it was fulfilled to the extent that God would have used Samson had he been solely and wholly dedicated to the Lord in all areas of his life. And we will see tomorrow how his fleshly desires overrule what he knows to be God's calling on his life, and they end up being his undoing. But it's a warning to us, Samson's life, that you may have gifts on your life, you may have a calling on your life, but God desires that you submit your will to come into alignment with God's will, so that you are in agreement with God and all areas of your life are aligned with the Lord, and that God is able to use you, and that your character isn't out of alignment with the anointing that God's placed on your life or the gifting God's placed on your life. So think about that this week as we continue to explore the life of Samson. God bless you and give you a victorious day.